They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to a very quiet Hysteria 51. Why is that? Because I'm the only one here. I don't think this has actually ever happened where I'm actually the only one here. C-Bot stop picking up Kyle from repairs. John is on assignment trying to track down Joe Peck so we can get him back on the show. Parts unknown. That's all we know where he might be is parts unknown. So I'm pulling hosting duty this week, taking care of everything for you. And we do have a fun episode because we watched a movie for you guys. And I am going to interview the director, the co-writer, and one of the stars, Zach Lamplugh. He just made the movie 15 Things You Didn't Know About Bigfoot. Number one will blow your mind. It's a long title and is a fantastic movie. It's kind of like a mockumentary, and some of the characters in it were fantastic. The story is about a clickbait journalist. He's sent to the Appalachian foothills to cover a Bigfoot convention where he discovers there's more to this listicle than meets the eye. That's a little tagline. And it's a fun look at clickbait media and also what kind of searching for the meaning of your life and how it all works out. Fantastic. And then I got a surprise for you guys, because when we go to break, I come back, I'm going to be with Zach. We're going to talk to him. And then when I come back, I'm not going to be the only one in here because I got someone coming over. You know her, producer Lisa. I'm going to put her to task on something, and we're going to see how her Bigfoot hunting skills work out. So I'm going to go to break. When we come back, I will have Zach here with me talking 15 things you didn't know about Bigfoot. Number one will blow your mind. Nation, like I told you right before the break, we are back with Zach Lamplugh, and I think you guys are going to love Zach because, well, he kind of did something that we absolutely love, which was taking I don't want to put words in your mouth, but kind of a pop shot at roasting at the Bigfoot world and clickbait media. You got to get a twofer out of this whole movie. Zach, welcome, and thank you for joining us, and side note, I will tell you this. This won't be on the show. We get sent a lot of movies. I really enjoyed your movie.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You should leave that in the show.
Well, then I sure can. John and I, we both watched it. We really enjoyed it. And I love both the tongue-in-cheek humor, the subtlety of it, and the searching for a meaning of life in a movie that's crazy. That kind of a way that it seemed like.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us, how'd you come down this road to Bigfoot?
Man, so I hope it wasn't taking too much of a pot shot at Bigfoot. Like, I wanted to come at it with respect to the community.
I don't think Chris Moneymaker and Bobo are going to come knocking at your door. They might be knocking outside your door, but I don't think they're going to be knocking at your door to beat you up or anything like that.
Now, we made this movie in Atlanta. We are all from that area, and we wanted to do something in the South, and we wanted to do something that kind of had that flavor of humor. And yeah, we decided to do Bigfoot because we wanted to do something that you could have like an expert that kind of could feel like somebody who was from the South. And yeah, we actually did like quite a bit of research with real experts too on this. I talked to quite a few field researchers in making this movie.
Your researcher in the show was fantastic. You know, the guy that takes you out in the woods, and it felt really realistic as far as watching these YouTube videos where a lot of people, and that was kind of his character, the YouTube guru, if you want to call it that or whatever. And it was a lot of fun seeing how people get immersed into this whole world, and it becomes their lives. And now you can actually make a living off it. Some people make a living off of going after
hunting Bigfoot.
I tell dick and fart jokes about ghosts and stuff, you know that. You never know what you're gonna get. Yeah. Was Bigfoot something that you're interested in, or why the paranormal?
We just always wanted to do something paranormal. You know what I mean? We wanted to do something that was, and also like paranormal stuff's fun. Like, I don't know. We used to watch a lot of those, like History Channel documentaries about the Jersey Devil and Bigfoot and all that kind of stuff. That's UFOs, all that good stuff, dude.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, I do listen to y'all's show. Like, I was listening to your episodes about UFOs and everything. That's especially because you guys touch on, especially like UFOs and paranormal stuff. Yeah. You know, like
we try to do a little bit of everything. You know, we're the catch all, so to speak.
Yeah,
it's, you know, I grew up watching Unsolved Mysteries and Robert Stack. Yeah. You know, and just being terrified of the dude in his trench coat telling these stories. And it's funny how, like you said, you grow up, you watch these documentaries. Mm-hmm. And you know, I remember watching the commercials for Time Life Mysteries of the Unknown as a kid and being like, I gotta have those. Now I was an adult and I bought them at like a thrift store for $35 later in life, but I got them, you know, I got them. And you had a fun swing into this movie too, because it felt very millennial adjacent. Like the people in there can you know, he's working for a company that's sending him out to war-torn areas to do craft brew reviews
to cover the craft brew scene in a war zone. I mean, it's I feel like that's all my friends that work in media. They all have to cover these quirky little stories and like basically swallow their pride every time they write a listicle. You know, it's
a listicle, yeah.
And exactly. And all these companies, they kind of like, it seems like the success formula is send a smart person to do a dumb thing or a dumb person to do a smart thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. It's like,
well, you guys encompass that perfectly in this show. Mm-hmm. And the dumb person do a smart thing, the character you had in there was a guy named Dirty Dollar Sign.
Yeah.
And I, you know what, I, as crazy as it sounds, I was kind of rooting for a little more of him in it too.
I know, everybody says that they want to see a spinoff. Yeah, so for your listeners, the movie is about a journalist who works at like a BuzzFeed Vice kind of outlet, and he always wanted to go into journalism and cover what he thinks are like serious hard-hitting issues, something like the Panama Papers or something, you know. But he, every time that he gets an assignment through his work, he is like, all his assignments are having to hang out with nudists and report back on what that's like, or going to Burning Man and telling you what that's like or whatever. And all these like fluff pieces, basically. And his latest one is he has to go hang out with Bigfoot hunters for a week and then write an article about it or make a video about it. But then once he gets there, we find out that Bigfoot is actually real. And there's something spooky in the woods they have to hunt down. So, there's in early in the movie, there's some showing his competition and his peers at work. And some of them are real idiots.
You're right.
Yeah.
I was looking over your resume and I got to tell you, you completely get a buy for me, because you edited Squidbillies and Your Pretty Face Is Going to Hell. So you get a total pass, even if the movie wasn't good, which it is. I loved it. So,
thanks.
But yeah. So what made you want to become a director and write your own movie? Was this like a passion thing you've had forever, or did this kind of fall in your lap?
So we used to run a show in Atlanta where we would make short films and then play them every month at a theater to like a live audience. Mm-hmm. And actually that's how I met those guys who do Squidbillies and Your Pretty Face. So I was actually already directing stuff before going to work with them, and they saw some of my early shorts and they were like, we should get this guy to come like edit some. I was not in their stable of like regular editors that was on every season of every show, but I would hop on every so often. I was kind of like, I think of myself as kind of like Pluto at that crew. Like, it's kind of like, is he here? Is he not? He's like, he's on staff for like a year and then he's gone.
He was an editor, but we don't claim it anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. It's kind of like, does he work there or what? Yeah. But, so I worked on Squids and, Your Pretty Face, and both of those, work environments are really fun and really creative to like just bat around with those guys. Cause I also used to watch like Aqua Teen and Squids when I was in college.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So then to like 10 years later, be like working on Squids season like 12 or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
That's, it's kind of like a almost surreal or a dream come true or, you know,
Yeah, exactly.
Or a job, depending on how well it goes.
Yeah, right. No, it was fun. It was a good like learning experience to work with somebody of that caliber and like learn a lot of lessons about comedy and yeah, that kind of stuff.
The comedy, speaking of comedy in the movie, you know, it was always up front, but it wasn't forced. It didn't seem. How much of it was improv, and how much did he write? Was there a lot of improv in this?
There was a certain amount of improv. There was a script. Like it wasn't like we did like a. I feel like some documentaries.
Guerrilla film it that way.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, I feel like some mockumentaries. They just go out and they're like, just we'll see where the scene takes us. But we had a script and everything. But we also, I'd worked with all these actors like a million times, so we kind of knew everybody's strengths and everything. And if two people like had an idea for something funny, like we were like, yeah, let's do it. You know, the crew was really small, so it took like no resources.
Right.
So basically,
right.
To be like, hey, you got an idea? Let's like dedicate 15 minutes to making it work, you know?
When I watch movies like this and it looks like you're out in the woods and you're lost, how far away from civilization were you? Were you just like, here's the road? Or were you actually out on like someone's land? Or how's that work?
Yeah, we went out to a friend of mine's land and he has like 100 acres, but it was like an hour drive from where we lived. So every morning I had to drive like an hour to set. But, you know, we were always within a quarter mile of his house. But then his house was 10 miles from the nearest Walmart.
Right.
So, but yeah, that was chill. He had, thank God we knew that guy, because he had so much like biodiversity on his land. Mm-hmm. Like we really could just be like, so we're going to film over here at this log. And then 200 yards away, it looks like a totally different
completely different part
of the woods.
Area. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You just shoot a whole movie within like a quarter mile.
Well, that's awesome. And it's also, like you said, it's awesome that you're in the Atlanta area and you can go do that. We kind of have our ties. I'll always love Atlanta because when I first started our show, the first network that approached us was How Stuff Works. And we were a How Stuff Works show, which was eventually bought out by iHeartRadio. So we've been to Atlanta and I've recorded there quite a few times and made good friends there. So
yeah. Atlanta rocks, dude.
Yeah, it's a totally different experience of the South. I know that sounds crazy, but it's awesome.
Have you been to like Buford Highway and all that?
No, I have not.
Oh man, you gotta go. It's like 5 or 10 miles of just every kind of ethnic food you can imagine.
Oh,
Malaysian,
very nice.
Thai, yeah. Indian, like whatever, man. Anyway,
that's
sorry,
awesome.
Now we're getting off topic.
No, yeah, no, absolutely.
It's just tight though.
That is fun. You know, it's awesome that you're able to be in an area where you can, you know, take advantage of it like that. This group that you worked with, your other actor, you were the producer in the movie. And so you were always the presence, but not always on camera, you know, but you were kind of driving the story, so to speak. I don't know if that's the way, or how would you describe how it's filmed?
So there'd been a lot. I mean, we were making this, we were trying to figure this out because there's been a lot of mockumentary comedy. But there really hasn't, I mean, this is such a small, I guess, distinguishing thing, but there really isn't like a lot of found footage comedy.
And this kind of has a nice between the two feel, almost.
Yeah, yeah, there's not a lot of like comedy out there that's a mockumentary where also the guy behind the camera is a character and, you know, kind of like Blair Witch or something like that. I mean, like, I guess Reno 911 was an interesting example. When I was like looking at all these, I was like, oh yeah, there are whole sketches where it's just the dash cam from a cop car. Like that's pretty interesting. That was actually a really fun, interesting challenge, because when writing this, you know, you're like, well, everything the camera sees has to be motivated by like that, what that character wants to look at and what that character wants to do. So it wasn't, if you'd asked me like a year before we made this, I would be like, I'm never making a found footage. Why would I do that? It's stupid. But then once we started down that road, we were like, this is a really interesting, fun set of rules, you know, to always be motivating what you're looking at. It's kind of, so the movie has a very dynamic frame all the time. It's almost like POV. It's not POV. It's not like Hardcore Henry, but it feels like that at some points, you know?
It was a lot of fun, and you saw how you moved the story. And one of my favorite parts of it was when you guys are camping and you have your first experience, your first night you stay, and you guys are experiencing something. You don't know if something's out there. It was kind of a tense little, you know, and your co-writer and co-actor.
Yeah. Brian.
Yeah, he Brian was Emo, great yeah. in there. And, you know, and he, it mm-hmm. was a lot of fun, and you actually felt like, that was when I was like, I'm really enjoying this movie. Like, it kind of, like, you're, like, leaning in a little bit. Yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah, Brian's tight, dude. That was a really fun scene to film, because he's such a good, like, performer, and he's also, as a co-creator, you know, mm-hmm. it's really great to have him, because we kind of, like, we wrote it together. I'm directing everybody, but I'm also, like, working the camera, but I can mm-hmm. also kind of, like, tell him what we're trying to do, and he can
similar
kind of, like...
vision together, and you can trust him.
Well, he can also kind of, like, sometimes manipulate the scene mm-hmm. with another actor, you know what I mean? Like, if we're both, like, it's funny to have this guy off balance with his responses, then he can kind of, like, do that while he's acting. He can force that person into that. Anyway, you know, it's nice to have a partner who's also, like, on screen at the time.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You went through a name change on the movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we just like couldn't, it, you know, came down to it. You can't legally call your movie Vice.
Exactly.
We originally called it The Vice Guide to Bigfoot, and we played some festivals under that name, but
hi, we've got the Vice people's lawyer online one for you.
Yeah, exactly. After a few emails, turns out they weren't interested at all in being affiliated with us. So yeah, we really honestly thought maybe they would be. Like,
well,
we,
right. Or maybe it would get you in front of their eyes and they go, yeah, this is fun, or not fun, or however they want to say, but yeah.
Exactly, right? Yeah. Oh, well. I'm not them, so I can't speak for them.
Speaking of pushback, have you gotten pushback from the squatcher community, the people that are out there looking for Bigfoot? Because you're not lampooning them, especially how it ends.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, have you gotten any nastiness from them because they think it's going to be one thing?
No. They're good. They seem cool. I haven't heard anything bad about anything from them. I mean, I think like I was saying, we early on reached out to a few different researchers and asked them, like, hey, mostly just making sure things weren't, really inaccurate or something. Making
sure that
like, you know, tree knocking is the way that it's supposed to be, Bigfoot calls are the way they're supposed to be, and things like that. But Bigfoot hunters seem to have a real sense of humor about it, you know? Like, they enjoy silliness like that. You know, I mean, they take it seriously.
Yeah.
But they don't mind, like, making jokes about it. There's a lot of, like, I'm now in a lot of Bigfoot researcher, like, Facebook groups, and there's a lot of memes. Right. A lot of Bigfoot memes.
You know, because we do what we do, and I'm in a lot of those groups too, I will say that there's a distinct, the Bigfoot people and the people that are out there are a lot more open-minded and outgoing as far mm-hmm. as joking and stuff. The UFO community, not so much. They're kind of a little bit more like tight and uptight and angry and how dare you, and yeah, it's a staunch difference between the two. So that's good to hear.
Yeah.
When you set out to make this movie, did you want to appeal to all the audiences, or was this something that you wanted to release to the world like this, or was it just like you said you used to make smaller movies and release them locally? Did you know that this was going to kind of blow up and be bigger like this, or what was the goal?
We just needed to make another thing. Like, that was, we made so many shorts that we were like, we just need to make a feature. We had a few.
Get creative, yeah.
Yeah, you just gotta go to the next thing, you know? Like, we'd had a few pilots that we'd written and things like that that just never got, like, would get, it basically, it becomes a few interesting and promising emails for 4 to 6 months, and then, like, they, you know, whoever you're talking to forgets about it. Yeah, so then all of a sudden, you know, it's been a year and a half, and you're like, oh, so I wrote, like, pilots and stuff, and just nothing happened.
I can tell you from the other side of that, we've been mm-hmm. through it with TV shows and pilots. Mm-hmm. We've even filmed for our show with a production company, and it's hurry up and wait, hurry up and wait. Don't hear anything for months, and then you kind of throw it to the wayside, and then they come back and talk to you, and you're like, oh, we're still on the table. Not so much. And
so I figured, we were basically like, if we're going to do it, let's just, because also some of those experiences, you come out the other side of it with a product you don't even like. You know what I mean? Like, you spend all this time, and then you try and make something, and
this isn't what I wanted to make.
Exactly.
Or jaded outlook on ever trying to do it again, you know, probably.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so pretty much, we were like, let's just make a movie, Let's make something that we actually like, that we'd actually want to make. And at least then, if people still hate it, then that means they hate us. And that's fine. You know, like, I can live with that. I don't want people to think we're one way in a pilot and then be like, well, I didn't like it, you know. And I'm like, I didn't like it either, you know.
Yeah, you're like, I don't, that's not what I was
setting
out to make, so I get you.
The
I
movie,
get why you
if
like
the
it.
Movie fails, it's because I'm a failure. And that's fine. Then I'll just quit. I'll just go kill myself and it'll be cool.
That's how, like, this is it. This is the last try.
Yeah.
You're either going to accept me or I'm out of here.
Exactly.
I got to tell you, it was a blast. I really enjoyed it. And the humor was, like I said, it wasn't forced. It was a very funny show on purpose, but it took serious. Like, the people went through changes in a good way. Even the Bigfoot Hunter and everyone, it kind of had this nice little arc to it. What's next? Do you see something else maybe in this world? Do you see something else in outside of paranormal? Do you have anything on the burner at all?
We're writing a couple things, and yeah, I think I'd like to stick in like a paranormal situation for sure. Do another movie, hopefully not a mockumentary again. Mm-hmm. You know, but yeah, we're actually working on a script right now that we're gonna try and pitch around.
Well, but if it ever has a Dirty Dollar Sign and White Morpheus, I am 1,000% in. Well, I gotta tell you, they're for everyone at home, there's a character called White Morpheus. I lost my shit when you called him.
Oh,
White
yeah,
Morpheus.
White Morpheus is like the funniest guy in 2020, dude, or 2021. That dude is and he really looks like it too.
He
that guy. Yeah, we're still. I'll be honest. We're still unsure of his race. Like, we're still. I've known that guy for a long time, and he doesn't say much in the movie, but yeah. He is definitely like just a really pale black guy, or like a I don't know, or a really you just have to see him. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, he's it was a spot on.
Yeah,
it was hilarious.
That dude's name is Bo Mikodelic. And actually, yeah, he does stand up, and one of his jokes used to be like something where he'd be like, "Yeah, I'm white. I'm surprised too." Or no, he'd say, "Yeah, he's maybe fuck. I can't remember. I don't think he is white though. I think he is mixed."
Well, regardless, yeah. It was perfect casting. It was hilarious. So, do you have you said you're working on anything? Do you have anything you want to share, or are you just?
Man, not yet. Unfortunately, I don't want to. I don't want to go. Right? No, I just want it to be done.
No, I hear you. I hear you. It's a process, and you took on a process, probably at the worst fucking time you could ever done it. Right in the middle of a pandemic, you know. Because plan around that.
Yeah, you know? Well, we premiered at film festivals right before the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
And then we just went into the pandemic. We did two physical festivals and then all virtual festivals in 2020, which was actually cool. Like, that was actually, you know, a fun way to experience it, because I feel like more people saw stuff on virtual festivals. Like, yeah. You know, we get a few thousand viewers.
Well, it's open to more people, and you can also probably you get it to more festivals, mm-hmm. because they're opening to a larger crowd, and that's so important on a show like this, is to be able to do the festival circuit and garner the interest, and hopefully you know, find a distributor or someone, you know, if you don't have one and stuff, and it's very much a hustle.
But luckily, it's funny, because luckily we had this thing done like right before the pandemic, so now it's like all of a sudden there's like not as many movies as before.
Well, and as you watch movies coming out now, yours included, it's interesting to see movies being released and then it'll say 2019 or 2020, but they're just coming out now, and that's kind of the norm, because nothing's in theaters or hasn't been. We're just crawling back into it now. The whole world is releasing to streaming and physical theaters at the same time. I don't know if, it might not ever go back to what it was.
Yeah,
I don't
who
know
knows. Yeah, although it's fun to go to a theater.
It is, and you can't it doesn't replace that sitting at home.
I love finding like a theater that's in a mall that like the mall sucks and nobody goes to the theater anymore. There's one of those in Atlanta that's like tickets are always $5.
Yeah.
Dude, whenever people were, what was the new Star Wars, the episode 7 came out. Mm-hmm. Like, all my friends were trying to go to, like, the fancy theater, and it was all sold out for days. I went to a freaking matinee, and my ticket cost $5.
If you don't care if the seat has a back on it, I can get you in.
Oh, exactly, right? Yeah, your feet are, like, sticking to the ground and shit. Hell yes.
Those are like the gym. We have one very similar to us, and it's literally in the mall that no one goes to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you got to go to those shitty malls.
Right. My wife never wants to go to it, and I'll go there because there's been like three times that I or her and I have went in for a matinee where the only people there.
Yeah.
Or there might be one other person, and one other time it was a dude I knew, so we're just sitting in there like not talking, but you know, like you're watching it at home, you know, because you're literally the only people in there.
Yeah, I love seeing a movie opening weekend with like four other people.
Yeah, right, theater. Right.
That shit's tight.
So are you showing it anywhere else around to any like live events?
It actually just released. Oh no, live events, no. No, I don't think we have anything like that on the books, no. But it actually just released, so it's available now on iTunes and Amazon and Google Play and Vudu and I think it's $5 to rent. So just search 15 things you didn't know about Bigfoot. Number one will blow your mind. And it's a veil.
If they want to find you outside of that, where can everyone go?
Oh, man. What am I? At Twitter, I'm Secret Grandpa. Secret and then Grampuh.
I like that.
And then on Instagram, I'm Pimp Pirate. So hit me up, man.
And everyone knows that just... Secret Grandpa is a pimp pirate, so that works out. It's
exactly, yeah. That's where you can find me.
Well, thank you so much for hopping on here, and I hope really, and like you said earlier when I said this, you go, don't cut it. I really enjoyed this movie.
Thank you.
And the you know, my listeners will know we get a lot of movies offered to us, and we don't do very many of them at all. This one was a blast, and it was a blast because of how well it was done and how well it flowed and the comedy and everything. So well done to you, and thank you for running your evening by coming on this show.
No, I appreciate it. Anytime, man. H51 Nation, baby.
There you go. Well, yeah, man. Thank you so much for hopping on here. And Nation, we'll be back in just a minute with more Hysteria 51. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it, so... It's very high on pronunciation, too, so you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I have to go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know, and we don't do long term stuff like this, and this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life. Wow. Redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today.
We're back! And I say we because it's not just me. She's here. She's back in studio. What's going on, producer Lisa?
I have arrived. You're welcome. You do not have to be locked in the attic alone anymore.
Oh my God. It was getting scary.
Okay, I gotta go. See ya.
Yeah. So you missed out on Zach. Zach was here. He was talking about Bigfoot and his new movie, but I gotta tell you something. It made me realize there's certain skills you need to be able to go out there and find Bigfoot. Let's not even worry on if he's real or she or they, if they exist. What I'm really looking at is, how do you get them? And how do you bring them in? How do you catch one? And one of the authorities that we got to go to on is Bobo from Finding Bigfoot. Now, I want to play you something. It's his official call to bring in a Bigfoot. So here we go.
Like that.
Thanks, Bobo.
That just sounds like you getting out of bed in the morning.
Okay. I want you. Now, I don't know if you can see on there. He does. Everyone's at home. Watch what I'm doing here. I hate when I say you do it, but put your hands like this, you know, like he did. I want your best Bigfoot call, howl, mating call, whatever you want to call it. No. She's got the Bigfoot. Go ahead and use that first. That is from, I think that was in one of our cryptid crates we got, right?
I think so.
I want to hear your Bigfoot call. I want to hear it. The nation needs to hear it.
Okay. All right. All right.
Real. Perfect.
Okay.
That was better than I anticipated.
I know. I've been practicing.
Holy cow.
What do you think I do all day?
What the hell's banging on the wall? I don't know what you do all day, but now that actually shocked me a little bit with how good it was.
Yeah, and you thought I just needed milkshakes to bring.
I don't even know you anymore.
It's okay.
All right, so if we had to go somewhere to track Bigfoot. Now, the only reason you don't really want to track Bigfoot is you refuse to go camping, and that's kind of an important part of it. If you had to pick a place in the world to go searching for a primate like that, we're going to find it. Where would you go?
I would personally go somewhere where I could lay on the beach and get served mimosas all day.
Everyone knows. No. Bigfoot can never say no to a good resort.
I'm just saying, you don't know. Like, there are bushes.
Bush, yeah. What's behind that bush? Oh, it's Bigfoot.
Where would I go? Are you asking for real?
Yeah, where do you think the nation needs to go?
I think that he's probably in the Redwood Forest.
And where are the Redwood Forests?
In California.
Oh, I was just waiting for you to be like, I don't know, that's just a buzzword.
No.
I think he's in the sand dunes of Madagascar.
Is that a thing?
Oh, okay, I'm listening.
Reasons. Because remember we tried to go and when we were driving, we got super nauseous, like... The roads were like all twisty-turny.
Yeah, yeah.
So here's the thing. Anybody who makes it down there and doesn't vomit on themselves might feel like they're feeling a little off, a little woozy. So then if they saw him, they'd be like, he could say to them, well, haha, nobody's going to believe you. You were all sick and hallucinating.
But they don't understand because when he says it, it comes out as.
Like that.
Exactly. Thank you, Bobo.
Exactly like that. You're right. So. Are there sand? What did you say? Sand pits in Madagascar?
I don't know. I was just
see. Now you're making stuff up. There
I
are
always
redwood
make
forests.
Shit up, though.
I know. I'm sorry.
So the redwood forests of California. I would have probably went with the Pacific Northwest, though. You know, this week it was Atlanta, the outskirts of Atlanta, where there is bushes, as you said. there could be. It feels real squatchy in those areas. So I don't know. Here's your homework this week, guys and gals. If you have a Bigfoot story, we've done a lot of Bigfoot lately. If you have a Bigfoot story, let me rephrase that because I've gotten yelled at for saying that. If you have a Bigfoot encounter or a experience that you want to share with us, let us know. And you can let us know by jumping on Hysteria Nation. You can even talk to producer Lisa on there, and if you tag her in it, she has to answer you. I'm just saying that right now.
Bound by law.
Yeah.
I will have my lawyers call you.
Exactly. So yeah, hop on Facebook, just search Hysteria Nation. Also, you can go to facebook.com/hysteria51. That is our normal page. Patreon, patreon.com/hysteria51. We've got two more people that have paid for their own episodes. So we're going to have a couple more guest stars here coming soon. So that's exciting. And they're picking their topics right now.
Sorry, I'm just, that is, I just.
That one was a little scarier than the first one.
Oh, go on.
Maybe I'll modulate that one.
I was trying to reach out to those Patreon subscribers to say thank you. And that was the best that I could do.
Maybe try a tree knock or two. That's good. Yeah. Thank you. I like your shirt.
Yeah. Have a good day. You're welcome.
Also, if you want to hear yourself on the show so that you don't have to hear Lisa or I, 773-669-7277. Again, that's 773-669-7277. And if you forget any of this, where can they go?
To the Redwood Forest. The sand hills of Madagascar. Hysteria51.com.
Or gofopedia.com. It's a choose your own adventure on either of those. So you can find all that and more, including maybe I'll just make it an official button on there. If they push it, they get your Bigfoot call. I wonder if I could do that. Oh, man, I don't know if that was you or the machine. I don't even know. They're both so good.
Welcome to my nightmare.
Your nightmare.
Your nightmare.
Okay, kids. Well, huge thank you once again to Zach Lamplew for coming on to talk about his movie. Huge thanks to Lisa for joining me this week. And if you guys want to find Zach, just go to the show notes. You can go to our website. You'll find all of the links to the movie. Watch it. It is a lot of fun. It is seriously a lot of fun. It was very funny. And you got to check out not only the main characters, Dirty Dollar Sign and White Morpheus. Lisa didn't get to watch this movie. I watched it without her, and she's just looking at me like, what are you talking about? But it's definitely worth it. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been Lisa.
He's not been Conspiracy Bot.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh. If it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.